Thank you very, very much, band. That was glorious. Just going to say hello to Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
I don't know that everybody here knows Steve, so would you first of all just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Put you on the spot. A little tiny bit. I'm Steve. We've been coming here for a year. Wife Rose is sat over there. I've got kids in various kids' clubs. We live in Clevedon. A couple of random things I could tell you about me. My favourite type of cake is Christmas cake. Controversial. I hate running. Even though this man keeps trying to make me run all the time. And the strangest question I ever got asked in a professional setting was, if you were a licorice allsort, which one would you be and why? Pardon? Andy wants to be the bobbly one. And I went for the one, you know the one that's like five layers, the square one? Not telling you why, though.
Perhaps we'll work it out as he speaks. Why don't we all stretch our hands out and we'll pray for Steve. Steve, we love you. We're with you. Thank you for being here this morning. And we bless you now in Jesus' name. Heaven, would you open up and pour your blessing on Steve? Would you give him, Father, would you give him your words for us this morning? Thank you for who he is. Thank you for his story. We bless you, Steve, and your family. May you know the peace and the goodness of God as you speak and then on through the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks. Right, hopefully there's a slide about to appear. It did work earlier. So this is getting towards the end of what has been a number of months on the practices of Jesus. And I think probably before I kick off into my bit, I think it's, for me, it was about kind of working out why is this important? Why does it matter? What's this all about? And really, this is kind of where I got to biblically was in Colossians. So for those of you not as familiar with the Colossians as I wasn't yesterday, and I reread it through last night, was this is a book, it's quite a short book. And it's written to what is the early Christian church. It's an early group of believers. And it's quite short. And it's got a couple of chapters in there that are really just very good practical stuff. It's not the stuff that's really hard to get your head around. Because I struggle with bits of the Bible where you're like, oh, I'm not quite sure what that means. It's just got some really, really, really simple practical things in there. And it talks about what to do, what not to do. It talks about turn away from sin. It talks about embracing the life of Christ in Colossians 3 and 4. And this is kind of where it all links in for me, is that we're talking about habits. We're talking about practice. Practices are very much around habits. It talks about you've put off the old self with its habits, in this case for me, I think in practices, and have put on the new self. God is continually renewing in his own image to bring you to a full knowledge of himself. So contextually, we're shaking off the old self, the old habits, when we become followers of Jesus, and we are putting on the new self. And this Colossians reminds us, I think, that as a church, we must keep Christ at the center of what we do. Now, this kind of fits all quite neatly together, because this little piece, which I didn't have any understanding or knowledge about, of what Annie has just mentioned, and this word for today, fits in very neatly with what I prepared this week. And it talks about staying close. So there's plenty of time to squeeze it all in. All you want to do, all you have on your heart to achieve, there is time. But if you want a full life brimming with adventure, put me in the center of your time. And that links beautifully into the next slide. So I think where a lot of the practices came from was Chris and Alice going away last year, went to New Wine, a chap called John Mark Comer, who's a pastor in Bridgetown Church. I think, I want to say Seattle, but I'm not quite sure. Is that right? Somewhere around there. Thank you. Portland. Close. And this was his This is what he did. And this kind of connected really well with me. I find him a really, really interesting speaker. He talks about our primary goal as followers of Jesus is learning to live in a constant state of connection to the Spirit. This is how we're able to be with Jesus, our rabbi. We must invite him into every moment and learn to always be in two places at once. At home and with Jesus, at work and with Jesus, on your commute and with Jesus. Bring his presence into the routine of your daily life. But how do we accomplish that in the chaos of the urban digital world? It's pretty straightforward. To experience the life of Jesus, we must adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. And that's where this all links in together. These are the practices, his lifestyle. This is stuff that he did and sets examples to us about what we can do to stay in this constant state of connection. To go back to this, if you want a life, if you want a full life, brimming with adventure, put me in the center of your time. That's what this is about. And I think these are the practices which, whether you've been a Christian since birth and you've just always done this stuff, or whether you've come to faith later in life, these are the things that will help you to flourish. So, before I go on to that, let me just give you some context. Why am I stood here in front of you today? I got invited to a dinner at Chris and Alice's house in early January, and there was a whole load of people. And some of those you'll be familiar with because you'll have heard them over the last number of months. And we talked about the practice of Jesus, and it was kind of a, you know, what, where are you? What do you, you know, what might be suitable for you to talk on? What might not be? And just kind of working out between ourselves how we might go about doing this kind of thing. Now, when that came to be, I sat there and I was going through these practices. And I thought to myself, actually, you know what? I'm not quite sure I want to talk on any of these practices because, you know what? I'm not sure I'm very good at doing these ones. Helen's laughing. I thought, yeah, I can't stand up here and be an authentic person and talk to you about how to pray if I'm not someone who does that well and often and confidently and feel like I can actually pass on some knowledge or experience which is going to be useful. That just doesn't feel right. I realized actually I wasn't very intentional about some of the practices. And so I talked to Chris about, actually, maybe I should try and do some of these a bit more intentionally. Maybe there's something in here for me about coming away from this dinner, and I need to kind of go away and do something about that. And he said, well, that's a really interesting talk, isn't it? So this is kind of journey. This is a journey towards practices. And I think the other thing is worth me saying, and I think this fits in with the culture of the church here, is this is not about this whole kind of self-flagellation, oh, I'm terrible, I haven't done this, and I haven't done this, and I haven't done this. I think any good comes out of that. This is just a genuine thing about me, sort of saying, where can I potentially do better, do more, be more intentional about things? I'm not trying to beat myself up. I could go through this whole list, say, I don't do that enough, I don't do that enough, I don't, and just very quickly, it all gets very overwhelming, and just think, no good, I don't think any good comes of that. So it's just about trying to really make those sort of things. So that's what I'm doing. This is about me thinking about what I need to do based on what it talks about biblically, based upon what he said over there, to actually make it work. Now, you will have seen this slide. You might remember it because it came up a number of months ago. These are, again, John Mark Comer. This is his interpretation. You might not agree with all of it. You might love it. Who knows? Of the practices and things that you do. And you'll see on the bottom, the engagement is very much about doing things, engaging positively with something. The top half is very much about disengaging, so not taking away, but not adding, but minimizing, simplifying. The right-hand side is very much about doing it with others, and the left-hand side is very much about doing it on your own. Now, when I look at that, for those familiar in a work setting with the concept of a heat map, you know, kind of where you spend most of your time. If you did one in your house, it would probably show that, you know, there was a lot of time in the kitchen. That's where you do a lot of your stuff. And there'd be a lot of time in the bedrooms. So that's where you sleep. But there might be some part of your house you don't really go to very often. And they'd be a bit kind of blank. There wouldn't be many footsteps in there. That bottom right-hand corner is where I'm very comfortable. So church weekend away, men's weekend away next year. As soon as I heard about it, great, put me down, I'm in. I was probably one of the first people to pay. Just because that is where I naturally am comfortable. if I go up to the kind of left-hand side and the alone stuff, not so great. Not so brilliant. That's not where I have loads of time, loads of effort, loads of energy. That's not naturally where I sit. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever read this book. I went to Spring Harvest a number of years ago. Richard Foster, The Celebration of Discipline. Anyone? Hands up, yeah? Now, keep your hands up if you finished it. Phew, I'm not on my own. So I had this amazing talk at Spring Harvest about this book, and it's brilliant, it's marvellous, it's wonderful. And I was like, oh, great, amazing, I'm going to read that book, it's going to transform my life. There's a bookmark there. Let me get the right way around. I got to page 73. So the first three chapters are about meditation, prayer, and fasting. You can see why I struggle with the book now, can't you? I kind of read it and I was just like, oh my word, this just seems really hard. This is just, it just felt almost otherworldly, you know? I just couldn't get my head around it. And I think, I think part of the reason for it was the book gave me this feeling, and it might be me, that in order to do all this stuff in here, all of these disciplines, and, you know, it kind of gave me the impression that my life needs to look a little bit like that. Now, the reality is, my life looks a bit like that. That's my day. And it's filled with pitfalls and challenges and unexpected shark pools and all sorts of stuff. Now, it's a silly analogy, but my point is, I just found this book really, really hard to connect with. I found some of the practices really hard to connect with because I felt like I'm just not in a place right now. Life is filled with brilliant stuff, and I'm really grateful to God for my life in so many ways, but it's busy and it's full and there's a lot going on and time is kind of precious. And so I started to think to myself, how am I going to get on with doing this practices stuff if life's just like really, really busy? You get to the end of the day and you've just got nothing, really not got a lot. And I know that's not just me, that's an awful lot of people in this room. And that may be the stage of life I'm at. I don't know. Ask me in 20 years and I'll let you know. Something tells me probably not. So what I realized myself was that for me, there's certain things in my life I can't change. So we all have 24 hours in a day. There are some things I've just got to get done. I can't change those things. But I also know that I've got to try and do something to try and get better at some of these practices because I need to stay close to Jesus. That's what this talk's about. Let's go back to the start. So I just need to be intentional. What struck me was I need to be more intentional with the time that I have. That's really where I want to get to. Now, Alice talks a lot about the phrase distracted and addicted. You might have heard that phrase. It might have really connected with me. I am somebody, and my wife will tell you, she will back me up, I am very distracted as an individual. I am quite often and quite easily very, very distracted. That distract and addict, there's lots and lots and lots and lots of things in this world that are designed to distract and addict. That's what they do. The number one is one of these. There are many things. Many, many, many things. Netflix, for those of you who have Netflix, which I seem to find is the vast majority of people in this world. Now, you sat there, you're watching a box set, and it gets to the end of the 40 minutes. And what happens in the bottom right-hand corner? It says, next episode starting in 15, 14, 13. And you kind of sat there going, oh, am I going to watch another one? Before you know it, it's counted down, and suddenly you're watching the next one. It's a silly example. But there are lots of things that are designed to distract and addict. And they take away your time. Now, I'm not saying Netflix is a bad thing. I think it's fantastic. But do I need to watch quite so many? Is there something I can use my time to do better? So I went away from this dinner and I thought, right, what am I going to do about this? How can I do this? And again, try and do it in a way that's not self-flagellating and beating myself up. It's about trying to do something positive. So, on the basis that life is busy, I did this, sat in the car whilst my son was at football practice. And I got, heaven forbid, I got a book, a piece of paper, and I wrote down very, very practical things in my life. And I said, right, what are the things in my life that I want to stop doing, that are just not adding value? They're taking up stuff in my 24 hours. It's just not really doing a lot for me. What are the things I want to do less of? What are the things I'm really happy with to maintain? Happy about this, happy with that, happy with that. What are the things I want to do more of, and what are the things I want to start doing? Because I knew the one of the things I wanted to start doing was some of these practices. And it took me 20 minutes. It wasn't some big weekend away at a retreat where I'm going to, you know, it was just a very simple, and I kind of, oh, okay. Actually, there's some stuff here that I can do. There's some quite simple, straightforward things that I can probably use my time better to do. Because there's some things I can't change. So that's one of the things I really realized about this. There's two really, really big things that I learned about myself when I just sat in the car for 20 minutes and went through that. What do I want to stop? What do I want to do less of? What am I happy with? What I want to do a bit more of? And where is it that I want to start? What I realized, and this isn't a shock to anyone, is that I the rhythm of my life is good. It's pretty sound and pretty set. And I don't want to change it. I can't radically change it. You know, I don't have a huge amount of time that's free and available. I work in Cardiff. I have to go to work. I can't just say, I'm not going to go to work. Can't pay the bills. I can't just decide I'm going to stop doing those sort of things. That's just silly. You know, I read at night. I don't want to stop doing that. There are certain things in my life that I do, that either I have to do or I want to carry on doing. But what struck me, and this is my journey, was that I can probably try and be more intentional within these rhythms. So it's not about ripping my life up and starting again, but within the natural rhythms that I have in my day and my week, I'm trying to think about being more intentional with regard to what I'm doing to try and align to some of these practices so I can feel closer to God. That's why I'm trying to do it. So let me give you one example. I drive to Cardiff every day. It takes me 2 hours there and back. Now, a lot of the time, my head's full of work on the way home, and I use it positively to kind of put things in their right place so when I get home, I can be dad, husband, and not employee. But a lot of the time, I just listen to the radio, because it's just what you do, isn't it? You turn the car on, the radio comes on, and you're on your way. So one of the things I very practically started to do and have started to do is to use that time more intentionally. So going back to those practices and the Bible reading one, I'm not going to read my Bible on the M4. Wouldn't be very sensible. Probably wouldn't be stood here. But what I can do is I can listen to the kind of stuff, podcasts, sermons, etc., that will help to nourish me and will help to do those things. Again, this isn't, you're saying, this, well, yeah, that's blindingly obvious. But I just, it was good for me to just kind of stop and do those kind of things and say, oh, hang on a minute. When I get in the car, even if just 2 or 3 nights a week, I can press play on something. So I had a load of fun. I found some podcasts. I asked people, what do they listen to? I tried some stuff. There's some weird stuff out there, I can tell you. Ooh, there's some really strange things that you listen to for 20 minutes and go, nope. But you know what? There's some really, really good stuff out there as well. And obviously, I don't just mean the Hope podcast, because that's brilliant. But there are lots of other things in there. So I've now got 3 or 4 things on my phone, which every week I get something that pops in and I will listen to on the way home or on the way into work. This is not revolution, is it? I'm not standing before you a transformed man. But this is, as someone who works in the world of change management, this is small, incremental, manageable changes which evolve the rhythms of my life so I can do more of these things. And so by doing that, hopefully it's easier, hopefully it sticks and it becomes a practice which I stick with. And the second thing that I really struck me, so the first one was about the rhythm and using it better. The second thing that really struck me was that I want to start doing a few additional things in my life. So one of the things I wanted to start doing was daily reading in the morning. I used to do it a long time ago. I got out the habit of doing that. So I wanted to try and start my day in the morning reading something of biblical value to try and start my day right. Now, confession to make, I am distracted and I am addicted. So I had already signed up to various emails that I get every morning from the Bible giving me all really good stuff. There's insight into my life. As soon as I get this out in the morning at breakfast, I don't get to the Bible bit because I've got 24 WhatsApp messages, I've got 45 Facebook invitations, and I get unbelievably distracted by all the other things on my phone. Now, obviously, you're all sat there saying, oh, it never happens to me, Steve. That's just you. You're special and different. So I went analog. And now my phone doesn't come out of the breakfast table. And I have what's called a book. I know, a book. It has pages. Because all joking aside, as soon as I do anything digitally, I'm off. I'm off into a world of other stuff that is designed to distract and addict and takes me away from the time that I have and the things that are more valuable. So I have one of these, and it's actually my wife's, and I started reading it thinking I'm going to buy my own one at some point. I actually quite like it. It's actually quite good. And so I started to do that. I started to try and have some more focused prayer time at bedtime. And here's another one. Another book, another physical thing that I actually wrote with pen and paper. I didn't do it on my notes on my phone, which is what I would normally do. I never get to them. And I just did these small, simple things, none of which are revolutionary, and I tried them. And I tried making some time to read the Bible with my wife. I tried making some time to read the Bible on my own. Now, getting towards the end of this, and I spent this week putting this together, and I kind of got to the bit where it was the conclusion. What's the takeaway? And I'll be honest, I kind of thought, oh, because I'd love to sit here now and give you this transformational story that in January we went to dinner, and here I am in May, and I've kept everything up, and I've done it all, and, you know, if you did my heat map, I'd be over on the left, and I'm fit, you know. But that wouldn't be real. That wouldn't be truthful. It wouldn't be honest. I've tried doing things, some of them I've kept up, some of them lasted 5 minutes, some of them lasted 5 weeks. But I've tried to do more things in the time that I have and be more intentional about those things. And I've tried to keep up some of the things which I've started and which don't come as naturally to me. It hasn't been a perfect journey. I don't think it ever will be for me. But what I think I found really encouraging, you know, you get those little moments where you think, is this God or is this me? And this morning, I opened up my little daily thing on May the 13th. And lo and behold, it's all about today. And it's all about my talk. And it all kind of starts to knit together. So I'm going to read from this what it says, paraphrased, and linking it in to what hopefully I managed to get across. It says, and it talks, if we never take a chance, we will never make progress. And progress always requires stepping into the unknown. Experience gives us confidence, but we never get experience unless we step out and try things we've not tried before. Kind of giving it a go. And it says here, and I guess this is my words as much as hers, I want to encourage you to teach others by word and example how to be bold and courageous. Tell people to try things, reminding them that making a mistake is not the worst thing that can happen. And if someone, somewhere in your past, trained you to fear failure or to focus on the worst thing that could happen, it's never too late to live by faith. Spooky. So, am I taking territory for the Lord in a foreign country? No, I'm not. Am I going to make the front page of a newspaper? No, I'm not. There are undoubtedly some people doing far greater things than what I'm talking about doing here. But it is a step in the right direction. It is trying something practically which will help to develop my closeness to God. Hello. Around all of these kind of things. And that's my journey. That's where I sit. I'm still on it. I dare say I will continue to be on that journey until the day I die. There's a wonderful phrase, progress, not perfection, which I've heard, which I do kind of like. And that's where I get to. But spookily, it all kind of links together. This and this and this today kind of feels like we're on the right track this morning. Kind of feels like God's trying to send something to me. So, I was asked by Chris to do something at the end, which is linking in what I've said into what you need to do. So if you don't like it, it wasn't my idea. It was Chris's. So what I would ask you to do, and you've probably already done this because that's how you work, is to look at those and think about which of those areas, either specifically or as a group of, you know, kind of one quadrant, do you want to either start doing or do more of? Okay, question number one. You already know the answer. And I can see you already thinking, oh no, I've got to go and do that thing I don't like doing. And then question number two is then, is there a bit of your life, something you do in your natural rhythm that you either want to do less of or stop doing or be more intentional around that gives you a little bit of time and headspace to start doing a bit more of some of this? And then if you know the answer and you're happy, tell the person next to you what you've come up with. And that's that. Simple as that. Thanks.
So maybe if the band would just come back, and maybe let's just do that, shall we? You know, speak to each other if you want to. The goal, as Steve said, is that we're get closer to God, and that's got to be a win-win for everybody. So just talk to your neighbour, and then I would encourage you, if you can, if you have time to do that, why don't you just pray for each other, pray for the determination, for boldness, for courage to do that, and just try maybe one thing that you're taking on, one thing that you would like to start doing. Thank you.